folks. Thanks for showing up once again for a press conference. We'll open up the floor with Front Row Middle, Nate Middle, 24/7 Sports.
Hi, Ryan. I want to get into some of the adjustments you made offensively. It seems like you guys were kind of attacking the boundary early and then adjusted to attacking the field. What went into that? Was Iowa maybe doing some things that they hadn't shown on film? And can you just get into some of the adjustments you made?
Yeah, a little bit. They went to a little bit more of the single high stuff and just made a few adjustments, and then it took a little time to figure out. But also when we started playing, with the full field, we kind of got a rhythm too. So I think a little bit played into both of those things. But they still did a lot of their fundamental stuff that they do, but a few different looks. And so we just tried to, figure out where we could attack them and kind of made those adjustments. Yeah.
We'll go fourth row, right, Tony Gerdman, Buckeye Huddle.
Ryan, given your offense, how often do you run into situations like that where everything you see from a defense and scouting is here, and then what you see from them against you is here because of the Iowa stuff, and then you see Penn State give up 400 yards rushing a couple weeks ago? Is that even applicable to what you're going to see from them this week?
I think every week is a different season. I look at it like that. You start from scratch. And you look at where you are, you look where your opponent is, you look at the matchup personnel wise, you look at the matchup schematically. And then as you get, later in the week, you start to figure out how it fits, what that matchup looks like. And then you do all that work. And then all of a sudden you get to the game and you may have to take a right hand turn real fast because of a lot of reasons. It might be the conditions. It might be something that, schematically shown up, maybe an injury. You don't know. But, every week is different, and you try to do the best you can to identify where you think you can be the most successful week in and week out. And, you evaluate the film and try to figure out why somebody may have had success or not success. And you try to forecast the best you can.
Can you spend time thinking, what if they do something differently than what we've seen? Or do you just work on what you've seen?
No, that's how I spend probably the 48 hours leading up to a game is exactly what you just said, and have a lot of sheets of contingency plans in place for what if. And we'd say sometimes you're chasing ghosts, but I've been in games before where, we didn't chase those ghosts and we didn't have answers, and that's not a good feeling. So it's our job as coaches to have answers and to put our players in best position to be successful. So that's our job.
Right next door, Cameron Teague Robinson, The Athletic.
Ryan, when you're not running the ball as well as you have been this season, how much harder does it make it being pushing in the red zone there? And do you feel like that was the main reason why you guys weren't as efficient as you have been in this?
I think it played a factor, yeah. We could have done a better job. A couple calls you'd like to have back, a couple plays we'd like to have back. We had the penalty down there that hurt us, and just a few things in general. So, yeah, when you have the balance and you're getting 4 and 5 on a run as opposed to 1, 2, or 3, yeah, it makes a big difference.
Right next door, Spencer Holbrook, Letterman Row.
Kind of along the same line, Brian. The offensive line, what did you see that you liked from them on Saturday, what you didn't like? It seems like that was the first time that you kind of struggled to get a push on the ball.
Yep. Like you said, there was some good things there. There was some really good protection at times. There was a breakdown of protection. We did some good things running the football. I thought we did a really good job on one play. We had a slip that could have turned into an explosive. We had one that I thought the line did a good job of. We didn't do a good enough job of cracking the safety. It was a little bit of everything, but there was good and there was bad, and the issues were there. But when you play against a better defense, those issues come to the surface more. So we'll keep pushing and keep trying to address those issues so that we get better every week.
I'll go deep left, Brendan Gulick, Buckeyes Now on Sports Illustrated.
Coach, I guess I want to ask you about the things that motivated you guys in the offseason. The idea that you're trying to be the tougher team, that you're trying to have that competitive excellence. I know you use that term with us a lot, but how much do you find that that stuff is still part of your prep each week? Do you focus on any of that, or is the past so far behind you that you're just locked in where you are now?
No, it's a part of every week. Yeah, we hit on it every week. We'll hit on it again today. We'll hit on it this week. We know that we have to bring it every week, and we knew when we see the schedule going into State College is going to be a huge challenge, always is. So, our guys understand what a challenge this is going to be. And so we got to have a great week of preparation. And this is part of that competitive excellence, and competitive stamina, bringing it every single week and going on the road and winning a game like this is going to be huge.
right in front of them, Jacob Bench, the Lantern.
There on Saturday against Iowa, your defense really led the way there. Just what did you kind of notice just game planning last week, Jim Knowles, and talk conversations that way just for the defense to step up and have the performance that it did?
Yeah, they identified the areas where we felt like we had advantages and were opportunistic early on, got our hands on balls, created turnovers, and then just kept the pressure on all day. But, you know, when you can start off the game with an interception like that, I know it really throws off the offense and can rattle the confidence, you know, just across the board. And it seemed like, you know, we kind of were attacking all day on defense. And when you can create that many turnovers, certainly your chances of winning go way up.
Second row left, Stephen Meats, Cleveland.com.
Chip was at running back against Iowa on Saturday. What went into that decision? And is that something that's going to be more permanent or just like – basis.
Yeah, we lost TC, you know, for the year, so he won't be available. It's a long term issue, and he had been doing some good things for us, and so we felt like, you know, we needed to provide more depth at that position. And Chip really had come to us a couple weeks ago and just said, "Hey, listen, if you need anything on offense, I'm here for you." Which is just the way he is. He's an unbelievable person and great attitude. So, you know, we just felt like the time was right. And you know, so that means, you know, EA's got to do a good job of stepping up over there and be the fourth linebacker for us. And, you know, we get Taraja back. And so, you know, we felt like we had some depth over there at linebacker and Chip could help us on offense and certainly has experience of playing last year. So, you know, it's good to get him out there and get him part of the unit because I think we're going to need him.
Front row right, Austin Ward, Rivals, 97.1 The Fan.
Ryan, after the pitch count for Jackson, it's fun just – talking to Hartline, talking to you, did he want to go back in on Saturday because of the way he came out? Like, it looked like he was trying to get back out.
Yeah, he's always been trying to get back out there. He's a competitor, and it's been hard for him not to be out there more. But we wanted to make sure that you know, we kept that number right about 20, and make sure that we didn't put him out there anymore.
You're not going to say too much about this, but it just looked like maybe they were evaluating him for something different than the hamstring. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just the way it looked to me. Is that sort of a yes or no there?
Yeah, there was nothing else other than, yeah, just the normal evaluations here.
Over to the right, Don Tavary, WBMS, NTV.
Coach, noon kick at Happy Valley. Are you happy it's not a night game at Whiteout? And overall impression of Penn State, how good are these guys?
Yep. Well, no matter when you go into Penn State, it's going to be a challenge. They do a great job with the atmosphere. And our guys, you know, there's still a handful of guys that, you know, that went in 2018, but not all of them. So, you know, we went in 2020. It was different. You know, there was COVID. But we know whether it's a night game, afternoon game, noon game, it's going to be a challenge. You know, their crowd's going to be in it, and they'll play a factor. So, you know, and they're a good team. You can see what they did last week. You can see what they did, you know, all season. And really good coaches, really good players, veteran quarterback. So, you know, new scheme this year on defense. We play good on special teams. So, you know, we got to play our A game.
Rick Heinen, Clay Hall, WSYX.
Sean Clifford, what's your take on him?
Played a lot of football and you know, a lot of guys, you know, who play that much football just – they have so many snaps under their belt. They've seen so many different things and you know, that makes them dangerous in and of itself, but he's tough. He's really good throwing the ball. He's accurate. He's made a lot of plays in his career with his feet and with his arm. And so, you know, anytime we play, you know, Penn State and certainly with Clifford, we know that they're really good and they can attack you a bunch of different ways.
You run across him in the recruit?
We did. Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Very good player. A lot of respect.
Adam King, WBMS, 10TV.
Stroud is obviously kind of judged almost against perfection a lot of the times. And when you look at him have a game where maybe things aren't going right in the first half there, how much are you involved? How much do you say, hey, you know, work through that yourself?
No, you know, it's you know, a team effort. And you know, it's a bunch of things that come into play. And it's never just one thing. I mean, there's a lot of things that we want to clean up coming out of that first quarter, especially. And then we did, you know, and that was good. So, you know, we try not to panic when things don't go exactly as planned, because we know that that's not always the case. You know, I mean, usually it's one of three things. Either you're going to go up early in a game, it's going to be back and forth, or you're going to go down in the game. And based on how you play, that's typically the outcome. So how are you going to react to that? And, you know, we were struggling a little bit, but we were getting field goals and defense was playing good, and nobody panicked, you know, and we started solving the problems and got back into rhythm there in the second half.
Mentally, do you ask him what he saw on that play, you know, it's an interception or something, or do you just kind of assume he knows what's going on and let him go back to the huddle?
A little bit of both. You know, there's times where, you know, you want to get some feedback, but then also, you know, I think as the quarterback, I know when I played, you know, you don't want it in a lot of noise in your head, you know, all that work on the front end is done so you can go play. But then there's also times where you got to connect on some things. But, you know, I'm not one to flood the quarterback with a bunch of information in game. I don't think that's a good idea. Let them go play, trust their preparation, and go from there.
Kellyanne Stitz, WSYS.
Coach, Noah Rebels picked up Big Ten honors this week. He opened the scoring for you guys on Saturday. How important was his performance, and how does he help give you guys a leg up on the competition?
Yeah, well, in that game, we kept the momentum going with those field goals and getting points on the board. And when you play against matchup teams, you know, anytime you're trying to score points, it's going to be big. And it starts with the protection. You know, we certainly know, you know, what happened a few years ago there, you know, with the blocked field goal. So, you know, all these little things add up in games, and certainly field goals matter. And, you know, in this case, it's 12 points, and that's huge, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, we're going to need that more and more. And certainly as these games get closer, it's going to be important for him to play well.
Far left, Ryan McGee, ESPN.
Ryan, that wide receivers room fascinates me. What's it like in that room? Because it's a group of young professionals, and obviously Jackson hasn't been available. But what's that room like? What does it make them special?
Yeah, I think there's some guys in that room that are very mature. I think when you just get around them, you realize for their age, they don't look like they're 18, 19, 20. They don't talk like it. They don't act like it. They don't speak like it, but they are. And it's pretty remarkable sometimes when you think about who they are as people and just the maturity level of all those guys in that room. I shouldn't say all of them. Some of them still have some work to do. But I think it started back with Terry McLaurin and Paris Campbell and Johnny Dixon. And they just brought a certain level of accountability to that room. And then, you know, Chris Olave and guys picked it up over time. And now, you know, you're seeing, you know, Omeka and Marvin and Julian and, you know, really take it over and run. And they started and cut their teeth on special teams. They come in as freshmen. They put their work in and then kind of show up and play in the second half of the season. And then by the time they get to that second year, they're ready to go. And that's kind of been the blueprint for them. And it's working. But I think you're seeing probably, you know, just ask like what makes them different is just how well-rounded they are. You know, they're physical. They're in the run game. They can carry the ball. They're involved with special teams. They can make play underneath, run after catch, downfield. Pretty well-rounded and obviously great people.
Fourth row middle, Pat Murphy, 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, with the obvious caveat that we know how good CJ is, it seems looking back at some of his misses, interceptions, it's come when he's been off his spot, not able to set his feet, things like that. When you're a quarterback who maybe isn't a guy who's used to running like some of the guys you've had, how has he worked on that, and how do you continue to work on some of those things that maybe in practice you're not able to simulate?
Sure. Yeah, you try to do the best you can to simulate the game in practice. And that's really important to do. And sometimes we can do that really well. Sometimes we can't. I think you've seen him make some plays like the one he scrambled around and made the play to Cade Stover. I thought that was an excellent extension of the play. He threw away the ball at times, which was really good. So, you know, I agree. When you look at things and you have to move in the pocket, you have to keep your balance and you got to keep your feet underneath you. And I think he's done a good job of that this year. But, yeah, it's our job to try to simulate that in practice. So what does that mean? You know, maybe in 7-on-7, kind of flashing in front and making him move his feet. You know, those are things that we typically do with the quarterbacks.
Right next door, Andy Anders, Buckeye Sports Bulletin.
Yeah, Julian, the last couple games has made big plays down the field on look like post routes specifically. How has he evolved as a downfield threat as his career has progressed?
Yeah, well, I think he's always been good at that. I remember watching him in high school, and he was always good, big, strong, long strides. He could eat up a lot of ground. He can track a ball very well. I just think you're seeing now the best version of Julian for a lot of reasons. But, you know, he kind of came in on a different journey maybe than what I just spoke about where – you know, the freshman and then coming into the second year, he had a couple injuries that derailed him. And so he stuck with it and had an unbelievable offseason. And now you're starting to see the best version of him. And, you know, he's strong, he's powerful, he's physical, and he's a presence out there. And you're starting to see the big playability downfield the last, I guess, three games.
Third row right, Dylan Davis, Delaware Gazette.
Just to be clear about Jackson, nothing about his exit on Saturday had anything to do with him not feeling good anyway.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So he's still on track to play on Saturday.
That's the plan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of pitch count on Saturday? Should he play?
We'll see. As the week goes on, we'll know more. You know, when you come out of games like that, you know, you got to keep evaluating and see how things go. But we'll keep figuring more stuff out, and by the end of the week, we'll have a better idea.
Second row right, Bill Landis, Rivals.
Ryan, when you guys have a base run play like you guys have with Stretch that is sort of the foundation of your run game, how much conversation is there throughout the week about making sure you're sprinkling it enough to protect that so teams don't tee off on it? And does that conversation or calculus change at all when you're playing a really good defense like you guys were last week?
Good question, because there was a couple of them last week that you know, we got negative plays on, and it isn't so much, you know, mixing it up, although you have to mix it up. You know, you want to have things that, you know, go up the middle, go to the outside, go to the strong side, go to the weak side, those type of things. But more than that, it's usually just identifying, you know, who you're working to. But like you said, you know, we want to make sure we have a good mixture. I think we've had a good mixture. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're good running the football, your best run play should be good just about anything. And we want to put our guys in schematically the best answers and make sure that the numbers are right and the angles and the leverage is right. But I don't think that was the case on Saturday.
Your offense is kind of multi-dimensional as you guys are. You under center, pistol, shotgun, everything. Mm-hmm. Is there a percentage in your head you want to make sure you're around so that you're not, you know, always running the ball when you're in pistol or always throwing the ball when you're in shotgun? Like a balance there to keep these defenses from, again, teeing off on center things.
I'd like to be aware of what they're looking at and what they see and what the numbers show. And so that as long as you're aware, then I think, you know, you're making sound decisions. You know, if you have a certain tendencies that 80% of the time you do this, and as long as you know that, you call it again, you know what to expect. I think where you get yourself jammed up is when you have a tendency that you don't know about, and all of a sudden you start getting ganged up on. I think that's what's important.
Front row, Joey Coffin, Columbus Dispatch.
Ryan, you guys have faced some good receivers this year, like Jaden Reed at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. But wondering what you think of the collection of Penn State skill position talent across the board, and just the challenge of that matchup this week.
Yeah, a big challenge. You know, the combination of quarterback and wide receiver will be the biggest challenge so far. And like you said, they're good. A good collection of talent: running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and the quarterback.
Second row middle, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
You talked before about using both Trevion and Mayan partially because getting them later in the season in better health. Is there a point in the season where you start to look at that distribution, a bigger role for Trevion, I guess potentially a bigger role for Mayan? How are you processing that? Do you want one of those guys to potentially maybe have a bigger role?
No. I think where we're at is good. You know, we got them both healthy now, so that's good. We're getting ourselves back into a rhythm of them both playing, because it's been a couple weeks, I guess, since we had them both. And so, no, I think we're pretty good where we're at right now.
Doug Lane-Reese, Cleveland.com.
Ryan, you've talked a lot about, like, not panicking in the middle of a game, and you don't want to fill CJ's head with too much noise. Just what's been your evolution as a play caller, as a coach, of figuring all that out, of maybe sticking with what you want to do, but also adjusting? Is that – how much do you grow over time with figuring all that out?
Well, I remember early on, you know, you get into a game and all of a sudden something changes or something doesn't go as planned, and you can panic and start to take a right-hand turn fast. And then you go back on the film the next day and you're like, the film was exactly the way that we left it, and something just changed in the game, but the film didn't change. What I mean by that is, like, the looks were the same, the plays were good, we just got to do a better job of executing. And you know, made that mistake in the past of, you know, overreacting or panicking and trying to take a left-hand turn or right-hand turn when you don't need to. And that's why the preparation is so important Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
I feel like a lot of times we end up asking about, like, adjustments.
Sure.
And of course you have to make them, but there also is a part of it of stick to our
that's
guns,
right,
and we'll work it out eventually if we believe in ourselves.
A little bit of both, for sure. Yeah, a little bit of both for sure. You know, because you can't overreact, because very rarely does a team just all of a sudden go off the deep end and completely change everything they're doing. But there are some change ups. You know, for instance, last week, you know, you saw them play a lot more single high, which they were typically almost like 80 to 90% quarters going into that game. So you have to make some adjustments in game, but you can't go, you know, taking a hard right hand turn. Yeah.
Front row right, Tim May, Letterman row.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to sneak two questions into one. I'm going to do it overtly.
KG veteran.
It's hard to imagine. Yeah. It's hard to imagine this defense without Tanner McAllister in it and without Lathan Ransom in it at this point. And both those guys have had different journeys to get to this moment and stuff. But are you nothing was promised Tanner, I don't think, when he showed up for Oklahoma State, except you'd get a shot, right? And then, and then what has Lathan kind of brought to the table here of late that kind of sets him apart?
Tanner, yeah, exactly what you said. You know, he came in with you know, Jim, and it just all kind of worked out great, and he understood that he had to work and earn his way into you know, playing at Ohio State. This isn't a place you just walk in and play. There's a lot of pride here, a lot of work that's been done, and certainly because of our offseason and the work we put in the offseason, it's very difficult for someone just to step in. It takes a very special person, and we've had a few over the years, you know, Trey Sermon and Jonah Jackson and you know, Justin Fields, and now Tanner, and Chip's doing a good job too, just the way he's gone about his business. And so in this year, or this day and age of the transfer, you know, we try to be really smart about that, because I think our culture is really important. But, you know, great to have him. And certainly he understands, like we've talked about the defense so well, he's kind of like a coach on the field, and that's been big. And now that you have Lathan back, you know, it's been big. I think what we're doing with Lathan on defense really fits his skill set, and he's taken off. I think you're starting to see the best version of him. I think he's got a great relationship with Perry. I think, you know, coming off that injury last year, you see how tough he is, because that was a quick return after a very difficult injury. And it's great to see him making plays. And I think, again, this style of defense really fits him.
Yep. Front row middle. Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, another one about the run game. Trevion and Mayan combined for 57 yards and 21 carries. I think the longest was 13 yards. There were some tackles for loss. How concerning is that, especially when you know you're going to be playing teams down the road that they're going to be like Iowa?
Right. Well, you know, it's like when you go into a game and you rush for, you know, 300 yards and you get the game gets over and you're like, oh, we're good. Now we're going to go rush for 300 yards in every game. It's the same thing when maybe something doesn't go well. You know, you're not going to go into a game next week and say, well, you're only going to rush for 20 yards or whatever it is. You know, I think you just have to identify what, you know, what you did well and what you didn't do well, and make those corrections and move forward. So, you know, the result is a feedback on your preparation, you know, how you did that week. And you know, we obviously didn't do well enough to our standard.
Was there a common thread with the struggles?
No. I can't say that there was one thing, but just overall lack of execution.
Far left, Dan Hope, 11 Warriors.
Ryan, it looks like Bradley Robinson suffered a significant knee injury on Saturday. Just what's his status? Is there a chance to be able to come back this year?
Yeah, I haven't got the final report on that, but maybe we'll have an update later in the week for you.
If he's not able to play, would Mason continue to be the guy at long snapper?
We would have Mason and Max available.
We're going to try to get a few more second questions in. Front row right, Austin Ward, Letterman Row.
Ryan, you're football robot at linebacker scored a touchdown on Saturday, and he seemed incredibly nonplussed about it afterwards. Right. Did you get any emotion from him? I mean, it's a pretty big deal to score a touchdown for Ohio State. Like, not even a smile we could get out of him.
Yeah, we got a little smile. I saw a little smile. I don't know if you'll admit it or not, but I saw a little one creak. But, you know, and to see him, you know, celebrate in the end zone, that's about as much as you're going to get from Tommy. But he's just so consistent and solid, and he has really, and I've seen it just, again, quietly is probably not the right word, but just when no one's watching, he's got a strong voice, and I've heard it, I've seen it, and when he says something, people listen. But he's not one that's going to be out in front barking at everybody. But you know when he's in the room, and you know he's on the field, and he's got a strong presence.
Dudley and Reese, Cleveland.com.
Do you know Manny Diaz very well at all, Penn State coordinator? And then what do you think of the defense they're running this year?
Yeah, I don't. I think we've maybe met once, but a lot of respect for him. And they've, you know, they have a really talented defense, and he's really good in terms of schematics and what they do. They do a lot of stuff, and so we got to be prepared for it.
Did you consider him at all this offseason?
You know, I tried not to really get into who we talked about or interviewed and everything like that. So rather not get into that now, but again, a lot of respect for who he is as a coordinator.
Far right, Clay Hall, WSYX.
Just curious what your perception of Penn State was when you were playing at New Hampshire and they're kind of an Eastern power. Has that changed for you now that you...
growing up watching Penn State was a big deal. And when you're in the Northeast and watching some of those teams and the national championship team, and a lot of respect for that program over the years and what they've done. And so it's just, I guess it's just an evolution of the game. And it's like when I coached the NFL and had to go into Foxborough and we had to play Brady and Belichick. I didn't know whether I was supposed to cheer for myself or for them. So you just things happen in your career and you just move on. And but what a great program and obviously what a great place to play.
You think it's still there? I mean, that profile, that notoriety, that...
No question. Absolutely, yep.
Keeping left, handhold, 11 Warriors. Ryan, we didn't see Josh Proctor play at all on Saturday. Just wonder, was there any reason he didn't play other than, late being a starter?
Just an illness. Yeah, he'll be back practicing this week.
Front row middle, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, you're obviously familiar with Mike Yurcich. Want to get your thoughts on him and how instrumental he was in getting CJ here.
Yeah, first up big with that first year in developing Justin, which is really important, and then certainly had a huge hand in recruiting CJ. I remember when he and I were out in California recruiting, and I was supposed to be at the Home Depot Awards that I missed Jerry, and we got in trouble that night, remember, because I wasn't there. Well, and I think they wanted to fine us for that, but I was.
Maybe did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, find you. Well, we were doing a home visit with CJ Stroud, so they can fine us. They can fine us whatever they want. But that was on a Thursday after the Big Ten championship game, and we he was a big hand in that, and certainly had a great relationship with he and Kim and the whole family. So, but a very good mind, very sharp, always creative, and a really good play caller.
I didn't know that's who you were visiting.
Yeah, that was it.
Second row middle, Nathan Barrett, Cleveland.com.
What went into that number, the 20 number on Jackson's pitch count, and I guess how, I know you're going to say week-to-week evaluation, but like, is there a ramping up that you anticipate to happen that gets him to a bigger role, and any concept of how long that might take?
So this is, something that, we have such great people in sports medicine and our doctors. And so, there's really been a very specific plan on how to get him back to playing, number of total yards per day, number of high speed yards per day. And then after each practice, evaluating the strength of range of motion and strength. And so, we're just kind of following that lead. It's way over my head. I'm trying to figure out what to call on third down and all the strength and numbers and things like this. So we're just relying on the doctors to give us the information, and we just go from there.
Who is kind of the main point person for
that? There's everybody involved. Yeah, it's all hands on deck.
Far left, Steve Hellwagon,
24/7 Sports. Yeah, Coach, Cameron Brown, I think, missed the last game as well at corner. And Jordan Hancock, I think, finally got to play a little bit. Just those two situations, kind of, where's Cam? And what was the response on how Jordan did his first time out?
Yeah, Cam, not a long-term thing at all, so expecting to have him back soon. But great to see Jordan back out there. It's been a long road for him. He's been dying to get back on the field. And there was ups and downs during I guess it was 9 weeks, where he was coming back and did a great job of being, especially in the last couple of weeks, of really, diving in and being serious and making sacrifices and really focusing on being healthy to get back out there. But Jordan Hancock loves playing football, and you can see it in his play. And it's great to have him back on the field with our defense.
Fourth to the right, Cameron T. Robinson, The Athletic.
Ryan, you mentioned that Iowa is normally a quarters type of defense. They come out and play single high on you. I know you guys have a script when you start the game. As a play caller, at what point, when you realize that Iowa is doing something different than you think, do you throw the script away, or do you have stuff in that script to adjust to different looks you expect?
Yeah, a little bit of both. We don't really script like the first 10 plays. We have openers. And the reason why we don't do that is really for what happened on Saturday. You have like 10 plays that you script and you practice, and all of a sudden your first three drives are, on like the whatever yard line it was. And so, you know, we have some things that we like that we rep out and walkthroughs before, and, you know, first third down calls, first red zone call. And then, you know, we quickly adjust from there, like you're saying, because I've just been around it before where you spend so much time getting good at those 10 plays. And once those 10 plays are over, you know, you got no rhythm. And so we try not to do that, but we do have opening thoughts.
Got time for just a couple more. Front row right, Tim May, let him in a row.
Yeah. Sometimes you see CJ just sitting there on the bench, staring straight ahead, et cetera. Do you communicate with him between series about, hey, we want to go this direction, maybe next time, et cetera. And is part of that the visualization, it's easy for me to say, of him getting that into his mind about where you want to go?
Sure, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, no, he's been excellent on the sideline. I think his attitude's been great. His thought process has been great. The feedback's been great, what he's seeing out there. And usually it's, you know, what are you seeing? Is exactly what we practice? Is it different? Here are the adjustments. And then here's what we're thinking, maybe going back out. Sometimes – you know, I've been there before where you put a couple of plays in their mind and then you get the ball on the, you know, plus 20 and now it changes. And so, again, try not to put too much in their head, certainly in CJ's head, because, you know, when he's clear and he's playing, I mean, that's when he's at his best. And he's so intelligent that he's going to process everything you say. So you got to be smart about what you say.
And does Drew Porter jump off the video at you?
Yeah.
You watch?
Yeah.
In what way?
First off, you just notice his length and his ability to get hands on you. And then, you know, he gets his hands on a lot of passes, you know, very, very strong at the line of scrimmage and, you know, great cover skills, and for his size can really change direction.
Far left, Ryan McGee, ESPN.
Yeah, Ryan, watching Justin, I mean, 10 minutes ago and talking about CJ, momentum when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to position groups.
Yep.
Is that a real thing, pride in a position group?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, in 2017, going through the recruiting process, and, you know, I remember recruiting families and recruits, and, you know, they would say, you know, how come there's never been very many first-round draft picks at quarterback here? I'd say, well, there's going to be real soon. And I took a lot of pride in that because I feel like – no matter what position you coach here at Ohio State, it should be that position. You know, what else do you want? You know, if you're the linebackers coach, it should be linebacker you. If you're the quarterbacks coach, it should be quarterback you. If you're the running backs coach, it should be running back you. And I remember Urban Meyer saying to me, you know, what are we looking for in a quarterback? He said, just go find an ex-Heisman Trophy winner. I said, okay, let me get to work here. But that's kind of the way it is at Ohio State, and that's the expectation. That's the way it should be.
Final question, Adam King, WBNS.
I know you're probably tired of talking about Jackson, but when you have somebody on a pitch count like that, how much can it sometimes change the offense mid-game? You're bringing him out, you're hoping to have him out there. You said you have played specifically for Jackson. Does that kind of throw you guys off a little bit at all?
No, it doesn't. I know what you're saying, but no, our guys are very intelligent. They can jump in and out of positions, you know, whether it's the Z, the H, the X, you know, we can jump in and out of 11, 10, 12, and our guys really don't get affected too much by that. So, no, it shouldn't be a problem. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.